Ladies, last year and the year before, Shabbos was the first day of Pesach. Next year and the year after will be that way too. This is the one in between year. This is the one in between year that it's not that way. Out of the 5 years, this is the in the middle one that's not. So we could discuss regular Pesach issues instead of navigating Friday night Seder. The city of Southfield, with the help of our councilman Mandelbaum, have done some things to try to help make Pesach easier, and the community is going to have a community Biur Chametz, where the fire department of Southfield will be overseeing a burning of the chametz on the campus of the municipal center. And the burning of the chametz is open to residents of Huntington Woods and Oak Park. You don't have to be a Southfield resident to burn your chametz at that location. The burning of the chametz is planned rain or shine. However, it is very important to realize that they will not let you burn any plastics. So if you come with a box of cereal, the cereal has to come out of the plastic bag. If you come with a lulav and dalminim to burn in the fire, it can't be in its plastic sleeve. But if you have 10 pounds of challah dough in your freezer that you want to burn, they'll take it. Just don't put it in a plastic bag. In the years past, I've cautioned against trying to burn your challah that you separate for throughout the year, Erev Pesach, because I'm concerned it won't get burned in the time allotted. But if they're going to have this fire raging on the center by Southfield, then I think you should be safe to burn your challah at that event. Just make sure, as I said, that it's not in plastic. If you intend to take advantage of the burning of the chametz there, please be careful to keep an eye on your children. This is an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem, and it's the first time it's happening in our community. Other cities have it. We want to make sure it's done the best way possible, and it should be a Kiddush Hashem. While mentioning the burning of the chametz and the Southfield Fire Department, I do want to remind everyone that we mention every year at this time that as you clean for Pesach, it's a good time to check your smoke detectors, change the batteries, make sure everything is in working order. In addition, there's going to be a trash pickup on Erev Pesach in Southfield, in the area marked off by the map on the handout. The handout makes it clear that this is just for bags of trash, not recycling, not lawn waste, anything else. It's just for any chametz trash you may have accumulated since the last trash pickup, which was on Wednesday the week before. Some people are concerned if the trash pickup doesn't occur within the proper time, what happens to the chametz in those bags. If you leave bags, sealed bags, at the curb, you don't have to worry about any chametz in the bags. If you have a trash can, that's an issue. I would not leave the bags in the trash can, or you could wait and see if, I mean, they may come early. I don't know what time they're going to come. But if you have any concerns about that, just leave the trash in a bag at the curb, and there is no issue at that point of your owning the chametz when it's prohibited. The Sof Zman, the time to end eating chametz is 10:59 a.m. The time to end Biur chametz is 12:17 p.m. I know I have seen some publications with several zmanim. I don't think you should look at several zmanim. I think these are the accepted times that we've always used, following the Magen Avraham Zman. So 10:59 should be the Sof Zman, the end of eating chametz, and 12:17 p.m., the end of getting rid of your chametz and saying the Kol Chamira. Of course, if you want to be machmir and do the earlier, that's fine. But I would not recommend anyone to go beyond those time limitations. In addition, on that handout from Southfield, there has been arrangements made to receive parking permits to park on the street. On an ordinary evening, it is illegal to park overnight on the street, and people have been ticketed if they have done so. Over Yom Tov, we have company and guests, and sometimes we don't fit everyone in the driveway, or people don't know. When they park on the street, they get a ticket. So there is a permit that can be received at the Southfield Code Enforcement Office. This is where the Southfield Library used to be. The building where the Southfield Library used to be is now a multiple municipal center, and one of the desks there is code enforcement. I went this morning to try it out myself, and you go into where the old library was. It's the building next to the police department building. It's not the police department. And you go to the desk, and you say, I'm having company. And the chiddush, if you will, is that typically they'll give a permit for a week. For Pesach, they'll give her a Passover permit for the whole Yom Tov. And this is what it looks like. It has your address on it. It has the date when the additional parking can be allowed on the street. This permit, it's not written down here, this permit should be on the driver's side dashboard. It should be on the driver's side dash, and then people can park on the street over the course of Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, and they will not be ticketed. In the event that a person cannot go to the code enforcement office during business hours, I've been told that you can just go to the police department and the police department desk. They can also issue the permits after hours. So if it's not during regular business hours, you could go to the police desk in the police office building, and they will also be able to give you this permit. When cleaning for Pesach and cleaning our homes and putting away things that were not going to be used for Pesach, so the halacha is that we are allowed to own utensils that contain chametz in the walls of the utensil. They were not kashered. We don't have to sell those utensils. Chametz that's on the surface has to be removed or sold, but the actual utensil does not have to be sold. However, the halacha makes it clear that they have to be put away in such a fashion that no one's going to use them. No one should, by mistake, take any of those kelim and use them over the course of Pesach. We have had cases in the past when either it wasn't properly marked or closed or sealed, and kelim were taken out and used on Pesach, which is a big, big problem, because on Pesach there are stringencies that don't apply the rest of the year, and we don't care that you haven't used this pot in 2 weeks, it's still a problem, and we don't care that there was 100 times more than the spoon you put in, there's no bittul, there's all kinds of issues. So one has to be very vigilant that any chametz kelim that are in your kitchen are totally sealed and off in such a way that mistakes shouldn't happen. And I want to add to the list sponges. We've had issues with the sponge was taken from the chametz drawer to use to wash, to paste the dishes. That's a problem no different than the chametz kelim being used on Pesach. In addition, I've said this in the past and I will repeat, that I feel as part of Bedikas Chametz, part of checking the house to make sure it was cleaned and we didn't forget any Chametz in any accessible place, it is important to double check the pantry, double check the refrigerator. Products that are purchased for Pesach should be in fact kosher Pesach. And the problems are numerous, and I'm sure Rabbi Brody will repeat it again himself. Not only when you're shopping, double-check your products to make sure they are kosher Pesach and they're not for Ochli Kitnius. There are products that are only for the Sfaradim with Kitnius. But in addition, there's always problems of things put on the wrong shelves by accident. Sometimes things are packaged inappropriately. The box may say kosher for Passover, and the product inside the box is not. And sometimes it's just it's a mistake because the packaging looks so similar. The packaging for Pesach and not Pesach looks almost identical on many of the products. And only if you look closely, you realize, and it happened in my home, 10 cans of tuna fish in the cupboard, 2 were not for Passover, 8 were for Passover. They looked all the same, except 2 were packed in oil instead of water. And they were kitnius. It wasn't chametz, Baruch Hashem, but it was a kitnius issue. They looked almost the same. Just one said kosher Pesach, one didn't. It had all the Hebrew writing on it, you can imagine. But that line I missed. And they look the same, so you check 2, 3, you don't check all 10. Well, you have to check all 10. And we've had in the past, I've said this, and people call me up, we found a ketchup that was from a Jewish brand, and this one was not kosher pesach, we thought it was. We had consomme, that was by mistake. We had a shiloh one year with someone called with the whip, the not riches, but whatever the Pesach brand of cream whip is. And they used it, and they realized afterwards that this particular whip was not kosher Pesach. It's very easy to make these mistakes. The Jewish brands, the packaging was very similar, and it may be in the Pesach section in the grocery store. So I strongly recommend the night of Bedikas Chametz, someone in the house, an adult, should be given the job of checking the pantry, checking the refrigerator, make sure that the products that we believe and hope are kosher Pesach are really kosher Pesach. And I hope they come out being kosher Pesach. But I know from the past that mistakes do happen. In addition, we've said in the past that when cleaning for Pesach, it is important to pay some attention to the rings you wear all year long. It's very possible that chametz accumulates on your rings that you use when you cook and you prepare food, and it's worthwhile to have them cleaned, and many poskim hold they should be koshered. The poskim range from pouring boiling water over the ring to immersing it in boiling water, doing a whole hagolah. I don't think you need to do hagolah, and if you want to pour boiling water, it has to be clean. That's the main thing. Make sure it's clean. Make sure the rings are clean, and you could clean it yourself. You could bring it to Tappers. I believe Tappers will clean it free of charge. But something to think about. Rings could definitely have chametz residue built up. I'm also asked all the time concerning braces and retainers. And what we say is that those who have braces should refrain from eating hot chametz 24 hours prior to the Zman, which is 10:59 a.m. Erev Pesach. I know that many people have a minig they've developed over the years to have hot pizza the night before Pesach. Bedikas Chametz is synonymous with pizza night. Okay, if you're doing that, so the person with braces feels terrible. I'm left out of all the fun. Can't have hot chametz. So I still think they shouldn't have hot chametz. But in the event that the braces people do have hot chametz, then they have to be very careful. Erev Pesach, once the Zman Isser kicks in, which is 10:59, so it's Zman Achila, at that point, not to have anything hot until 24 hours has elapsed from their pizza. If they had pizza at 6 p.m., they finished at 6 p.m., let's say, so then between 11 and 6, they should not have anything hot at all. So ideally, we just say stop eating hot 24 hours before 10:59, then after that, eat whatever you want. But if someone, in fact, ended up eating hot chametz the night before Pesach with braces, I would tell them you should be very careful not to have anything hot after the Zman Isser Achila Erev Pesach until 24 hours has elapsed. One of the things that we don't always think about Pesach time, and I want to bring to your attention, is that after Shemitah, a year or two later, we've had cases of Shemitah wine showing up in the stores. And I have alerted Star K in Baltimore and CSC Chicago in the past of issues that have shown up in previous Shemitahs. The last Shemitah year was 2015, and now is ripe for those wines to show up in the United States. The only Shemitah wines that I have found from Israel that make it to the United States are one company, but have many names. It's Yardane, Galil, Gamla. They're all the same company. And they will ship their wines to Chutz La'aretz, even though it is Shemitah wine and should never come to the United States. I've consistently found those bottles here. Now, our local distributors are from, and they are vigilant. And I have not found any of these varieties in our stores. And I spoke to Mr. Nachas today, and he told me they will not take any 2015 from Eretz Yisrael. So we're better off here. I didn't check Lincoln Drug. Sometimes they have wine from Eretz Yisrael that they shouldn't, that we can't use. Any wine from 2015 Shemitah wine, you want to stay away from. There's numerous shailas beginning if you're allowed to drink it in the first place and how to drink it. My personal opinion is you cannot drink it. And we've had this in 2008, we've had it in 2001. This is not a new problem. And it's just a matter of being vigilant, and our distributors are careful, Baruch Hashem. It doesn't mean other cities they're as careful. Now, what I found this morning was there's a new market called Noah's Market. And Noah's Market has a selection of kosher foods, and they want to attract the frum community to shop in their store. And they have a pretty large wine selection. Included in the wine selection is a company called Tishbi from Israel. Tishbi wine from Israel 2015. There were a few from 2011, 2012, and the 2011, 2012 varieties had an OU, probably OUP. But the 2015 did not. And on the back, it made full recognition of the fact that there's a Shemitah issue, and it's resolved. It says on it, under the Hashkocha, it's the only Hashkocha on the one, under the Hashkocha of the Rav HaRashi of Eretz Yisrael, Heter Mechira. It says it right on the bottom, if you read it. So what they're saying is, yes, we worked our vineyard in the Shemitah year because we relied on the fact that the Rabbanut sells the land of Israel to Arabs in the Shemitah year. So therefore, it was permitted to produce this wine like any other year. The Heter Mechira is fraught with controversy. There was a time, a long time ago, way before the establishment of the State of Israel, when Gedolim in Europe weighed in, Sakanas Nefashis, to allow selling the few plots of the Yishuv to Arabs in the Shemitah year. But that has become institutionalized as a regular practice, and most Rabbonim do not follow or allow the Heter Mechira, and I would strongly encourage you not to purchase that wine, not to drink that wine. And if you did buy it, again, the company is Tishbi. If you have that wine, I'd bring it back. And I spoke to Mr. Nachlas. He told me that he alerted the owner of Noah's Market that no one's going to buy that wine. Send it back to your supplier. To send it back to the supplier. As of today, it was on the shelf. So it is something that you should be alert to. Any wine from Israel bearing the date 2015 is going to be a problem. And again, this particular variety clearly admits that this is a Shemitah wine, and they're relying on Heter Mechira, and I do not think that one should rely on that for their wine. I wanted to spend a little time discussing Shiurim, the sizes of the mitzvahs we do the night of Pesach. A lot of the Pesach Seder has to do with things we eat and drink. There's the mitzvah Dal Kosos, drinking four cups of wine or grape juice. A lot of people find that challenging. There's the mitzvah eating matzah. And we don't just eat it once. We have matzah, we have kairach, we have afikaimen. And some people find that challenging. And we have the mitzvah of eating maror. And the mitzvah of eating maror is again maror and kairach, and some people find that challenging. So I just wanted to review with you quickly the basics of the halacha and discuss the minimum amounts for those who cannot follow a more strict viewpoint. What is the minimum necessary to fulfill the mitzvah? The halacha is that men, women are required in all the mitzvahs of the Seder night. And Dal Kosos is we start the evening with the Dal Kosos, we start with Kiddush. And if one can drink wine, that is preferable to grape juice. There are different alcohol contents for wine. The minimum alcohol content is probably around 4%. I know the OU says 3.5%, the Feinemann says 4%. I'm comfortable with 4%. Certainly the Rashi lights that are coming at 5% are fine. That's definitely sufficient alcohol content to have the element of cheirus that we associate with wine. If someone cannot drink wine, then grape juice is an alternative. If someone has difficulty drinking grape juice, I recommend trying to find a natural grape juice that does not have added grape juice concentrate as a sweetener, because almost all the grape juice on the market comes with added grape juice concentrate. It says no sugar, which is true, no sugar is added, but they do add grape juice concentrate, which is a sweetener, And for some people, it makes it difficult to drink and digest. If you could get a natural grape juice without anything added, it'll be a little tart, but I think it'll be easier on the stomach. Now, as far as the amounts, I think this is the key here, the amounts. The halacha requires us to use a glass that holds a revius. And we fill the glass to the top, and we should drink at least a majority of the cup, preferably the entire cup. How big is a revius? How large does this glass have to be? The revius is the equivalent of 1.5 eggs in volume. And when measuring the volume of the average egg, there are 5 egg varieties in the market, the small, medium, large, extra large, and jumbo. So taking a large egg and using a graduated cylinder to measure the water displacement, you will find that a large egg basically displaces between 58 to 60 milliliters of water. So I round up to 60 milliliters. It's really a little bit less, 59, 58, depending on your large egg. But it's in that range. And if the halacha states that a revius is 1.5 eggs, then the size of the revius, the amount, the minimum size of the cup, is going to be 90 milliliters. Because if an egg is 60 milliliters, displaces 60 milliliters, so you take that and another half, it's 90 milliliters. 90 milliliters is basically 3 fluid ounces. It's basically 3 fluid ounces. And on the table, I marked off 3 small shot glasses, each one with 30 milliliters of grape juice. And the plastic 70-ounce cup, whatever that is filled with exactly 90 milliliters of grape juice. So if you, in your mind's eye, that is, each of those small shot glasses is 1 kazai, so 30 milliliters, and the larger cup is 90. Now the trick is finding a becher that size. Most glasses come in at 4 ounces, like juice glasses are 4 ounces, and then the silver bechers start bigger. It could be you could find a smaller becher, and I have nothing against the 5, 6, 7, 8 ounce bechers. You want to go that route. And be yotze all the shittas. I'm not saying this is chazan ishir. Actually, it's not chazan ishir. Chazan ishir is over 5 ounces. But for those people who cannot drink a lot, whether it's stomach issues, blood sugar issues, so then there's no mitzvah to get sick on Pesach, and one can fulfill the mitzvah by using these shiurim. And even if you end up with a 4-ounce cup, which is bigger than it has to be, and you drink a little over 2 ounces each time, so the majority of the cup is the requirement, so by the end of the night, it's a little more than 8 ounces. And I think if people are careful with that, they should be okay. Some people cannot have fruit juice at all. If they cannot, they should not. If someone, it's not healthy for them to have grape juice or wine, they should not have either. For someone who, for medical reasons, cannot have fruit juices, then they should fulfill the mitzvah with tea. Black tea. No sugar added, obviously. Black tea. And I've spoken to Rabbanim who are diabetic and said that's what they do. They use black tea as an alternative for the Daat Kaisis as a Chamamidina, and that's an option. But if someone can drink, just not a lot, so I do think it's important to keep in mind the sizes. When it comes to Achilas Matzah, so 1 year I actually put out a piece of matzah. I didn't do it this year, but I did re-put out the handout. If you didn't get it, there's a handout on the table. And if those are exhausted, I have more over here. Of going through how to calculate how much matzah you need to eat for the mitzvahs of Achilas Matzah, Kerech, and Afikomen. And basically, my concern has always been when the kids are in grade school, they come home with a sheet from the Morah and or the Rebbe, and has this big sheet, this huge amount of matzah you're supposed to be eating. And it's a one-size-fits-all sheet. And in halacha, it's really not that way. It's not one-size-fits-all because it's a matter of volume, and the volume will change depending on the size of the matzah, how thick, how thin. And there are different matzah companies. Some have very thick matzahs, some have medium, some have thin. And what I have done was borrow from Rav Bodner's book where he goes through the different sizes of the matzah, and based on that, did some number crunching and came out with the shiurim that are necessary for the mitzvah. And basically, for the requirement of Achilas Matzah and for the requirement of Afikoman. So I'm using Rav Moshe Feinstein's Shi'urim, it's less than half of a matzah. It's not two-thirds of a matzah. It's 46%, I think, around there. It's like, the numbers are there depending on the size of your matzah. Even for the thinnest matzah, it's 46% of a matzah. For a medium, it's about a third. For thick, it's less than a third. And that is perfectly fine. You use all the shitas, the two kazesim, it's all tied into that. And I try to explain in the article why that's all you need to eat. And for someone who's a chola, someone who's ill, so I know my Rabbi Heinemann would say a sixth of a matzah for each of the mitzvahs. And again, this chart shows you why that is accurate, going with a medium-sized matzah, which is 16% of a matzah, which is basically a sixth. And that is sufficient for all the mitzvahs if it's a medium-sized matzah. If it's thin, it should be a little bit bigger. If it's thick, a little smaller. And that's also on the chart. So those who have challenges in having the larger amounts, so this chart will hopefully make it a little easier to figure out what the chayla should have as opposed to someone who's healthy. And even someone who is gesund, Baruch Hashem, does not have to eat so much matzah that when it comes time for Shulchan Aruch, they can't eat the meal that you work so hard to prepare. And that's not covered for Yontif, it's not covered for the woman who works so hard to make the meal. So I've heard many times, if Hayim Shabbos HaGodol Drasha, don't be machmer on your achilas matzah to be makel on the covered of your wife who worked so hard to make the suda. You can't eat anything because you ate so much. So these are the shiurim that I would recommend using a Moshe Shita. Again, the Chaznish Shita is larger. I don't think we are bound to follow that viewpoint. If someone wants to, kala kavod. But it has to be in the balance of all the other mitzvahs. Achilas maror. When it comes to eating maror, so maror requires one kezayis, the volume of an olive, and based on our water displacement with the egg, we said that 30 milliliters is ample to satisfy the requirement of a kezayis for maror, and being that maror is mitzvah drabonon, there's less reason to adopt extra chumas when it comes to that. So what I put on the table is I saw that the OU in their booklet writes that if you use romaine stalks, then 3 by 5 inches is the amount you need to fill of romaine stalk for a shear of romaine stalks for kezayis. So I wanted to test it. They're really close. I was very impressed. You'll see on the table, I put out my romaine stalks that I put in the cylinder, displaced 30 milliliters, took them out, laid them out on the 3 by 5 card, and it really just about, it's a little less than the card, but it's not way off. It's really very close. While I was at it, I did a single large leaf, which is on the table as well, or two smaller leaves. It's hard to give an exact system to the sizes only because different romaine heads will have different thickness of the stalks, and we're dealing with an exact, precise number. If you're not sure, it's probably worthwhile to go a little bigger. Even though the halacha, if you study my article with matzah, it's clear that even if you're a little less, it's also okay because you still have Rambam sheet and Shlomo Zalman. There's other sheets that hold less than the 30 milliliters. So 30 milliliters is for sure good, and it's not that much. It's not that much. If you don't know, you'll keep taking more and more. If a person is going to use grated horseradish for maror, again, the shear is a kezayis, and that would fill the schnapps cup, the height of the grape juice in those cups on the table. It's not all the way. At least that particular plastic brand, it's not all the way to the top. And that would be sufficient for a kezayis of the grated horseradish as well. Many years ago, I brought in a romaine head, and when going through how to check it for insects, at that time, I had mentioned slitting the stalk, and I have retracted that. That is not what we do anymore, and it's not necessary to do it. When I take a romaine head for Pesach, I know it's wasteful, but I discard the leaf. I stick to the stalks. This is very easy to wash and check it real very quickly. You can check no thrips, no aphids, and this is perfectly fine. But I do not slice it down the middle. There's nothing really in there. I never found anything in there. And OU and other cautious agencies do not require that. and I wouldn't either at this point. I want to point out one more thing that I many years ago showed, and I'll show it again now, is that at the bottom of the romaine head, when you have removed the leaves, there's this stem piece that everyone discards. If you take a knife, cut off the bottom, shave around the sides, you get a solid piece of pure moor. Now, I didn't see how many of these displaced my 30 milliliters. Probably two at this size would do it. This is perfectly kosher for achilas moor. I happen to know someone who is so concerned about insects in their moor. This is all they use for moor in their family. They discard the entire romaine head and just hold on to the stems at the bottom. In my opinion, it's easy enough to check the stalks, and I would do that. My understanding from the kosher gram is that if you don't want to check your leaves, if you get romaine hearts, they will have it in Israel, a checking station for you. I don't know how it's going to work, if they're going to be overwhelmed or not, I don't know. But basically, if you prep the romaine by soaking it and rinsing it, and just want someone to look at it for you, they will do that for you. It's in the kosher gram, you can read about that. And I think it would be wasteful to discard the stalks, even if you don't want to use the leaves, but the stalks you shouldn't discard. But this piece at the bottom is a perfectly fine piece of moor, and it doesn't taste bad either. It may taste a little bitter, which it should. So again, I suspect this is probably half as ayas. I'm guessing that this is probably 15 milliliters. Sometimes they're bigger, depending on the head. But my point is just don't throw that away. It's a perfectly good piece of moor. And just shave off the bottom and shave off the sides. And if you're using, I don't know, we're going to go 20 heads maybe. So it's a lot of moor. It's good moor, not to discard. So I hope this makes it a little easier as far as determining the amounts that are necessary to fulfill the mitzvahs in a way that we don't get ill and that we can enjoy the Shulchan Aruch as well afterwards, and the afikomen for dessert. Over the course of Yontif, I'm often asked about Chol HaMoed going for a manicure or pedicure. The halacha is that if someone cut their nails Erev Pesach or Erev Yontif, Erev Sukkos, then it can be done again Erev the last day is L'Kavod Yontif. But if it was not done Erev Pesach, then we do not cut nails during. If someone wants to polish their nails, that's fine. But filing is the same as cutting. If it's done Erev Pesach or Erev Yontif, it can be done Erev the last days. If it's not done Erev, then we don't do an Chol HaMoed. The only exception would be if a person would need to use the mikveh, they would cut their nails, and that would not be an issue. But outside of that, L'Kavod Yontif, we're not going to cut nails unless they were done beforehand. Another question I'm often asked, is it okay for a woman who's expecting to have a manicure or pedicure? And that's not an easy question to answer. The concern is, based on the Chazal, that women who are expecting should not be stepping on nails on the floor. And as you know, I've never been to a salon. I've been told that some are cleaner than others. Some are cleaner than others. So I can't really give a straight answer. If a person's concerned that there will be nails on the floor, I wouldn't recommend going during pregnancy. If there is no such concern, then I would say that it's fine. The Pasuk tells us that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Vayisa ha'ames b'tzeiko tam yechmatz misharosam suas b'simosam al shechmam, they left Mitzrayim with dough that did not have a chance to rise, and they had misharosam, which means their leftovers, wrapped up in cloth al shechmam on their shoulders. Rashi says on the Pasuk, this refers to the leftovers from the Seder. They had a Seder in Mitzrayim with matzah and maror, and whatever was left from the matzah and maror, they wrapped up and carried on their shoulders out of Mitzrayim. And Rashi brings a mechilta that asks the question, why were they carrying it? They had all kinds of animals, flocks and hordes of animals. They could easily have put their leftover packages on the animals to carry. And the Chazal answers, and Rashi brings, to show that chaviv in mitzvahs, they were mechav of the mitzvahs, the mitzvahs were very special and dear. They had the mitzvah the night before of eating matzah, eating maror. They weren't going to delegate the animals to carry the leftovers from the mitzvah. The Magen Avraham in his Pirkei Zayis Ra'anan, and the Yalkut Shimoni says, the mitzvah is over. There's no more mitzvah to eat it again. The mitzvah's gone. There was only one night, Pesach, in Mitzrayim. The next night was Chol HaMoed, whatever. It wasn't Yontif. They're not eating matzah and maror anymore. It was leftovers from their Seder, but they would not put it on an animal. They carried it themselves. Based on this, we have a halacha Mishnah Berurah quotes from Chayei Adam that leftovers from the Seder should not be discarded as regular trash. We do not discard the Zroa. We do not discard the Charoisis, not the Maror. I say matzah is never left over. It's not an issue with matzah. But whatever it is that we have for the Seder, special for the Seder, is not to be treated like garbage. Even if it ends up, so then you should wrap it, put it in a separate bag, and then discard it. No different than when you're mafish truma, truma's matzah. You have to give it special respect. Anything left over from the Seder, the mitzvahs of the Seder are special, and it shows chavivus of the mitzvah. It shows the mitzvahs are dear and special to us, and we're not going to treat it like other leftovers that have nothing to do with mitzvahs. Of course, it's also part and parcel of showing chavivus ha-mitzvahs. I tell my students, don't roll your eyes and complain when you're eating matzah and mar. It's a mitzvah. It should be done b'simcha. You should be happy about it. And if you have a complaint, keep it to yourself. But you really shouldn't. It's part of chavivus ha-mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are special and dear. We should appreciate it. Now, I did see that the Brisker Rav said it's very important. I know you're going to love this one. It's very important to take a rest Erev Pesach so you can enjoy the Seder properly. So halavai, it works out. We should all take a rest Erev Pesach. But we should try to enjoy the Seder. We should enjoy the mitzvahs as much as possible. Any questions? Nothing, yeah?
A friend called me today and she wanted to know if she could color her hair during the
Chol. Can a person have their hair dyed, well, put it both ways, during Chol HaMoed and during the Omer? That was the question. The halacha is that for cosmetic purposes, women are allowed to do basically anything during Chol HaMoed and certainly during the Omer. That includes hair removal. We don't get haircuts during Chol HaMoed, and worse sphere for that matter, depending on when your minhag sphere is. But that does not affect any other cosmetic hair removal. Cosmetic hair removal for women is permitted during Chol HaMoed, and certainly hair coloring would be acceptable as well. If someone is leaving for Pesach, what exactly needs to be done in my house? The halacha is that we have a mitzvah of bedikas chametz that begins 30 days before Pesach. If someone were to leave home before Purim and be gone till Shavuos, they wouldn't do anything to the house. But if someone leaves after Purim, within 30 days of Pesach, there is a requirement to do bedikas chametz, and that means cleaning the house and searching for chametz prior to leaving, even though we won't be home for Pesach. That's the halacha. The din is if someone does bedikas chametz prior to Erev Pesach, they don't make a bracha, but they do bedikas chametz. Now, the halacha is, when we sell chametz, we do not have to do bedika where we sell. So if I have a cupboard of appliances and I'm selling the chametz in there, and there's products in there and I seal it off, I do not have to clean it or do bedika there. So whatever I'm selling, I do not have to do bedika. If I sell my entire house, I would not have to do bedikas chametz in my house. However, there's a mitzvah to do bedikah. So what we say is, leave one room, sell everything but one room, and do bedikas chametz on that room the night before you leave, and that way you fulfill the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. If you sell everything, you cannot have company from your neighbor's kids or whatever staying in the house, because you sold it. If you go to have people using bedrooms in the house, then those bedrooms cannot be sold with the chametz, and they should be cleaned and checked. And you could do the bedikah in those rooms. So if the house is going to be off limits totally, leave over one room to do bedikah there. if some rooms are going to be used, you can do bedika in those rooms. And I'll end, Rabbi Brody's here, I'm going to end with one Hachnasas Orchim story. I've said this in the past. If we're leaving town for Pesach, many of us have in mind that we're not going to have to clean and do all that kind of work. And yet, we want to accommodate a neighbor who needs a bedroom or two, so fine, we'll clean that. So people ask me, well, can I tell them they can't go? Yeah, you can cordon off areas of the house. These areas are not accessible. They were sold with the chametz to the guy. Don't leave any cookies on the counter. But basically, let's leave it clean. But you could do that. But I know I was the guest receiving end of this chesed. We were staying in a house, and the homeowner not only cleaned the bedroom, they went out of their way and had the refrigerator cleaned so we could put Pesach food in the refrigerator. There's no requirement to do that for your guests, but it's certainly a high level of Hachnasas Orchim if you can have company over Pesach. This family did that. They would clean the part of the counter was covered and cleaned, and the refrigerator. It's not necessary to do that for your neighbors next door's company. But it is definitely a level of Hachnasas Orchim. But again, if no one's in the house, you could just sell everything and do bedika in one spot. I thank Rabbi Brody for coming to join us tonight.
Good evening. First, I'll just mention something non-Pesach related, kashrus alert. There are Israeli fruit being sold in some local stores that you should be aware of. That if you buy them, you need to take trumas and maaseres. There's clementines at Costco, and the one there is not even a Jewish name. It's called Bagu, and it doesn't say on the bag itself. It's not printed on the bag that it's product of Israel, but there's just a sticker on the back of it saying product of Israel. So even though it looks like a Geisha brand, you should always check the sticker or any information on any fruit, especially citrus fruit that you buy currently, to see if it's from Israel. And if it is, trumas and maaseres need to be taken. Also, there's a Jaffa brand at Noah's, which also is from Israel. And also, I was told some people have seen Sharon persimmons at Randazzo from Israel. Okay, as far as Pesach information goes, I'll mention some important points regarding products for Pesach. If at any point you have a question, please don't hesitate to break in and ask. Most of this information is in the Pesach Gram, which you should be receiving within a few days. It's also available on the VAD's website, cordetroit.com. First and foremost, like every year, is just not to take anything for granted and to keep your eyes open. It's very difficult sometimes to tell the difference between a Pesach product and a chum sticker product. Many times it's the same exact label, just with a little word Pesach added. And sometimes it's in Hebrew, and sometimes it's just stamped on. And invariably, every year, there are mix-ups. As careful as everybody tries to be, but it is going to happen. Sometimes the manufacturer itself makes the mistake. Sometimes they actually put in the same case, which says Kosher Pesach on the outside of the case, and inside the case they might have a mixture of Pesach and non-Pesach products. Sometimes the storekeepers and the workers in the store mix it up. Sometimes it's the shoppers themselves who do it, that they go down the aisles and take the chametz product, and they come to the Pesach aisle, and they say, oh, I want the Pesach one, and they take the chametz one and put it on the Pesach shelf. So you have to be careful and just not take anything for granted. Check and double-check the label of every single container that you buy for Pesach. So far this year, one important mix-up that was found was Meal Mart chopped liver, that we found that there was a case of it that had been put into of the chumstika liver that was put into the Pesach section. Luckily, we caught it pretty early. There were still 11 containers left, but that means that one container of it was sold. So if you or anybody you know bought Meal Mart chopped liver for Pesach, please double-check the label. And also with some Chalav Yisrael cheeses, there may have been a mix-up early on when they first started putting out the Pesach products, like over a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, so you should check that. Another item is multiple certifications. Some brands' products don't have the same hechsher on each other products. Osem, for instance, sometimes will have one hechsher on a certain product, which is a good hechsher. On other products, it might be other hechsherim, which may not be so reliable. So you need to check each label. Even more confusing is that many times, especially Pesach time, you have products that have multiple certifications on the same product. You could have more than one hechsher on the label. Especially Israeli products, many of them will have badats, and sometimes the badats hechsher will say openly, not for Pesach, and then they'll have another hechsher, which is for Pesach. So you have to be sure that the other hechsher that says for Pesach is a hechsher that you're willing to rely on. As far as kidney is, so we know like every year that Ashkenazim don't eat kidneys on Pesach, and Sephardim do. Lately, it's become more and more common to find products that are certified for Pesach, which contain kidneys. Lately, even the OU and the Star K are giving special kidneys hechsherim, and they write on the label OU kidneys or Star K, you know, S for Sephardim and contains kidneys. But there are also a number of products, especially from Eretz Yisrael, which contain kidneys and have a hechsher for Pesach, and it's just in very fine print, sometimes only in Hebrew, saying Lo'echle kidneys bovad. So now it's more complicated, and besides having to check that the product has a Pesach hechsher, you also need to check the fine print to make sure it's not a kidneys product. And even for Sephardim, who do use kidneys, but they should check to make sure that the hechsher that is on the product for Pesach is the hechsher that they're willing to rely on. Peeled or shredded vegetables and fruits need the special checking and approval for Pesach. Things like peeled potatoes, peeled carrots, other peeled items, because many of them are treated with antioxidants to keep them from turning color, and some of those products have dextrose, citric acid, and other non-Pesachic products in them. Frozen vegetables, like every year, also needs a special Pesach hechsher because many frozen vegetable plants process pasta, macaroni, on the same equipment as plain vegetables. And frozen vegetables are not, even though they're frozen, it's not just a cold process, they're blanched, which is a heating process. So that is a problem. It's definitely a problem if it's on the same equipment as Komets products. In addition, the OU says that some frozen vegetables are washed. When they're washed, they use an antifoam solution to keep the water from foaming up, and sometimes that solution has ingredients in it that are problematic for Pesach. People always want to know about coffee for Pesach. So this year, I don't think there are any important changes from usual, but what you have to be aware of is, first of all, that instant coffee needs either a hechsher or approval for Pesach, because sometimes maltodextrin is added, and sometimes there's problems with common equipment. And decaffeinated coffee definitely needs special approval for Pesach, because sometimes the chemical that used to decaffeinate is ethyl acetate, which can be chametz. So some of the major brands that are available, which are good even with a plain OU, there's Folgers coffee. So the Folgers instant coffee with a plain OU is okay for Pesach, but this is all referring to the unflavored coffee, of course. So unflavored Folgers ground or instant coffee with a plain OU is okay for Pesach. And even the decaffeinated Folgers coffee, as long as it's unflavored, that's also okay for Pesach with a plain OU. Also, there's Maxwell House, Sanka, and Uban, which have an OKP on them all year round. So those are also okay for Pesach. As far as regular instant coffee, that's not decaffeinated, so there's also Taster's Choice, the unflavored ground and instant Taster's Choice coffee with a plain OU is good for Pesach. Yeah, well, first of all, there was Folgers with a plain OU. If it's unflavored, so that's okay, whether it's even the plain, instant, and decaffeinated, the Folgers is okay for Pesach. And then there's also Maxwell House, Sanka, and Uban. And those have an OKP on them all year round. And those come in decaf also, and those are good for Pesach.
Did you mention Taster's Choice?
Yes, Taster's Choice, the decaffeinated Taster's Choice is not for Pesach, but the regular unflavored ground and instant with a plain OU is good for Pesach, and that's the Taster's Choice brand. And now when it comes to K-cup coffees that are very popular now, those need special checking for Pesach because they're not just the regular coffee process. There's a process called agglomeration where they send steam through the coffee, and those agglomeration machines are often used for all kinds of drinks and soups and all kinds of things. So you do have to check to make sure that the brand of K-cup coffee that you want to use has been checked out. The OU has a big listing in their book, and the main brand is Green Mountain, and they say that all the Green Mountain K-cup coffees, as long as they're unflavored, so those are okay for Pesach with a plain OU. There's also some other brands, 8 O'Clock, Kirkland Signature, Market Basket, Starbucks. These are all K-cups. As long as they're not flavored and they have a plain OU, those are good for Pesach. And as far as meat and poultry go, so you should be aware that in general, ground meat and ground chicken, ground poultry needs special hechsher for Pesach. But locally from Superior Kosher Meats, his ground meat and poultry is okay for Pesach whenever it was bought. His product is kosher Pesach all year round. That's just a plain ground meat or poultry. But from other companies, from AgriStar, Aaron's, or Meal Mart International, or Solomon's, from those brands, the ground meat or chicken is only good if it has a special hechsher for Pesach. Nuts are a big item on Pesach. So first of all, you should be aware that ground nuts need a special hechsher for Pesach because you have to be sure that the equipment was clean. As far as nuts that are not ground, as long as they're whole nuts or pieces of nuts, so commercially packaged raw nuts, not blanched, but raw almonds or cashews, filberts or walnuts, whether they're in the shell or out of the shell, as long as there are no additives or preservatives listed, those are okay for Pesach. But you do have to check the ingredients sometimes on walnuts. They list BHA and BHT in corn oil, and that's not good for Pesach. Another caution is that if the label states that wheat, sometimes they have disclaimers, allergen disclaimers on products. So if the label states that wheat is present in the same facility, then it's better to use only with a special hechsher for Pesach. And one exception to this is about pecans. Shelled pecans, even if they're raw, do need a special Pesach hechsher because of the possibility of alcohol used in the processing. But if the pecans are in the shell, then that is no problem. As far as meat goes, if it's regular pieces of raw, unprocessed meat, in general, from most companies like Aaron's or Meal Mart or International, most of them are okay for Pesach without a special hechsher. With Salomon's, there was a change this year that if it's American product, if it says product of USA, then the Salomon's regular meat, also as long as it's raw, unprocessed in the original packaging, that's okay for Pesach. But if it's from South America, then the Machshir of Salomon's says this year that it depends which country it's from. From some countries, it's not recommended at all. From some countries, you have to wash it off. If you need the details, I could tell you later. As far as sugar goes, also the same as usual, that really any pure white granulated sugar with no additives listed is okay for Pesach. And for those who prefer with a special Pesach hechsher, so the Big Chief and Pioneer brands from our local Michigan Sugar Company,
those are under the VAD. They don't have the Pesach Hetzer on the label, but we do certify them for Pesach. But that's only plain white granulated sugar. Brown sugar and confectioner's sugar have cornstarch in them, and so those are not good for Pesach. And one thing you should be aware of, Pioneer brown sugar, which is a product of our local Michigan Sugar Company, was mistakenly listed in the OU book as being okay for Pesach with the plain OU. So first of all, it's not under OU, it's under the VAD, but also it is not good for Pesach. So that's brown sugar. In general, any brown sugar is not good for Pesach unless it has a special hesher for Pesach on it. There is Domino brown sugar that has an OKP on it all year round, and then there are some other brands also for Pesach. In general, dried fruit need a special hechsher for Pesach because sometimes there's problems with the equipment, sometimes they dust them with flour and things like that. As far as raisins, the OU has a list of brands that they say are good with a plain OU. Some of the brands are Champion, Dole, Food Lion, Great Value, ShopRite, Trader Joe's. All these brands of raisins with a plain OU are okay for Pesach, but with one caveat, that you have to check the ingredients to make sure that there's no oil or any other ingredients listed on the package. But if it's just plain raisins with nothing listed, then these brands with an OU, plus a lot of other brands in the OU book, are okay for Pesach. There is a year-round issue of raisins of bugs. There are sometimes insects in raisins, and I guess for Rabbi Eisenberger to say it's a big machlokes paiskim whether those bugs are mutter to eat or not. So most of the major hechsherim in the U.S., the OU and Star K and the CRC, most of the regular big hechsherim permit raisins, and their place can say it's okay. There are some hechsherim that don't allow them, and they don't use raisins, they say to use craisins, or cranberries instead, or they have special batches that they do a special checking on. What do you think? Rabbi Eisenberger says that the Paskin, that it's okay. You don't have to worry about the bugs and raisins. But one thing you should be aware of, whenever you buy raisins, you should make sure it's a fresh box. Sometimes the kosher brands are worse than the name brands because they stand around longer in the store. If it's an old product, then it could be more of a problem with bugs. So you should try to get fresh raisins. Pre-washed, packaged iceberg lettuce salad and coleslaw salads need special Pesach approval because they are washed and they often put citric acid or lactic acid in the wash water, so that needs a hechsher for Pesach. And as far as the brands that we commonly have here, there's Dole, Fresh Express sometimes comes in, or Kroger's has Fresh Selections, Aldi's has Little Salad Bar. All these brands have a Star K on them normally during the year, and for Pesach they all have to have a special Star K P. And I don't know of any washed lettuce or coleslaw salad that is okay for Pesach without a special Pesach hechsher. And locally I haven't seen them yet, at least as of the last time I looked at the local stores, I didn't see them come in yet with a P. I'm sure they'll be coming in next week. But one thing you should be aware of, not as far as Pesach, but as far as all year round, that this is the time of year when the infestation in the fields is the worst. So usually it happens just shortly before Pesach that some of these Dole or other brands of salads, which usually have a Star K, they might show up in the store. It might even show up at one stop if they don't catch it first. It might show up without a Star K on it. So that's not only a Pesach problem, that's a year-round problem. That means that there was too much infestation and the Star K wasn't able to approve that batch. So you should keep your eyes open about that. As far as tea goes, so tea also, like similar to coffee, if it's decaffeinated, it needs a special approval for Pesach because they could be using ethyl acetate. So the one kind of decaffeinated tea that's good without a special Pesach Hechsher is Lipton tea bags. That's Lipton brand unflavored decaffeinated tea bags with a plain OU, that is okay for Pesach. But as far as instant goes, if it's decaffeinated, or any kind of instant tea needs special approval for Pesach. There's Nest tea, 100% tea, which is plain, unflavored instant tea with an OU. So that kind is okay for Pesach, but only the regular, not the decaffeinated. Nest tea decaffeinated instant tea is not good for Pesach. And one important thing to know about water, plain bottled water normally is okay for Pesach, whether it's as long as it's unflavored, whether it's spring or distilled or purified, as long as there are no ingredients listed. There are some brands that have minerals added, so usually the minerals that they use are also not a problem, but there is one particular brand at Costco, Kirkland Signature Purified Drinking Water with minerals added, which has calcium citrate added to it, and that is a Pesach problem. And mistakenly, the OU book lists Kirkland under their list of water that is okay for Pesach without a Hechsher, so you should stay away from the Kirkland purified drinking water for Pesach. As far as our local milk, people ask every year about the Lamer's Chol of Israel milk. They don't change the labels. It's the same exact labels all year round. And what they do for Pesach is they add the letters KLP after the sell-by date. So if you look on the Lamer's, just check after the date. If it says KLP, that is the Hechsher for Pesach. And even though it lists vitamins in the ingredients, and in the Chalka milk it will list cornstarch, as long as it has a KLP, that means there really are no vitamins in there and no cornstarch. They just do not go to the expense of making separate labels. Yes? Salmon, okay, yeah, I'll come to that. Okay, that's the next item, actually. Okay, as far as frozen salmon for Pesach, so there are two common brands that people buy often. At Sam's Club, they have the Seaworthy Atlantic Salmon Frozen Fillets. So if it's the plain, unseasoned raw type, not the flavored and not the charcoal type, but the plain, unseasoned raw with a Chaf Kei, and that says product of chili, so that is okay for Pesach without any special Pesach Hechsher. And the other common brand is from Costco, this Kirkland Signature Atlantic Salmon Frozen Portions in Salt Water Solution. Also only the plain, unseasoned raw type that has a plain OU, that is okay for Pesach. People often ask, if you look in the ingredients of these salmons, you'll see color added. That color added is not actually an ingredient that is added after they catch the fish, but it's while the fish is alive, they give it feed that has coloring in it to color the fish, so that is where the coloring is, but that is not a problem for Pesach. And just one last item, when it comes to laxatives, there's a product called Benefiber, so you should be aware that Benefiber in the U.S., is made from dextrin, which is chametz, and is not good for Pesach. Now, the OU guide for Pesach lists a product called NutriSource Benefiber as being okay for Pesach, so that's very confusing. That's not referring to the regular Benefiber that's on the market in the U.S. That's referring to something called NutriSource Fiber, which is a special institutional product, which is made from guar gum, and that's only available by special order. However, just today I saw that the COR from Canada put on their list that Canadian Benefiber is okay for Pesach. Apparently they have a different formula. But American Benefiber is not good for Pesach.
Thank you, Robert Brody. Okay. And if you have questions, either Robert Brody or I will still be here for a few minutes. Okay.